This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Vacation alert from the three-row Jeep Grand Cherokee L. Mama and Papa want to go hiking. Los abuelos want to relax at the beach. And the kids want to go to the amusement park. With seating for up to seven, you and your loved ones can enjoy all these adventures and more. Jeep, there's only one. Visit Jeep.com to learn more. Jeep is a registered trademark of FCA US LLC.
Hear that? Believe it or not, summer is just around the corner. Luckily, Armor All, America's most trusted auto appearance brand, has what your car needs to get that perfect summer shine. Plus, now through May 31st, we'll give you $5 for every $20 you spend on Armor All products. That means car wash pods, protectant, tire shine, you name it. Find out how to get your $5 rebate at ArmorAll.com. Armor All, less work, more clean. Terms apply.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello and welcome to the Bike Radar podcast, brought to you from the team behind Cycling Plus, MBUK and BikeRadar.com.
Hello, welcome to the Bike Radar podcast. This is one of our Friday news reviews where we're going to look back over the past week or two's worth of what's been happening in the world of cycling. With me today is Seb Stott. He is at home in the Forest of Dean. How's it going, Seb?
Yeah, good, thanks, Tom. You all right?
Very well, thank you, yeah. And we've both got our computers open with BikeRadar.com in front of our screen so that we can read the news, pretty much. The past couple of weeks have been very heavy on Tour de France content because, obviously, the biggest cycling race in the world is happening at the moment. So we're not going to talk about the Tour de France today in this news review. We are going to think a little bit more about the mountain bike side of things. But if you are interested in the Tour and if you haven't caught any of our previous Tour podcasts, then why not have a quick look through your podcast provider, have a look. So we've done podcasts on the 2020 Tour Tech. We had a discussion as to should all cyclists care about the Tour? And also a couple of really interesting interviews. So my colleague Simon had a chat with Diego Costa. So he is the lead mechanic for Ineos Grenadiers. A really fascinating chat. And actually, about a month or two back now, our content director, Rob Spedding, spoke to Ned Bolting for the Tour de France, obviously pre-race when we weren't 100% sure whether the race was going to go ahead. But that was a really, really interesting chat. So do search back through the Bike Radar podcast to find ones that you may or may not be interested in. But yeah, shall we? We'll crack on, sir. Let's talk about mountain bike stuff. Where are we going first?
We were going to talk about the Shimano EP8 motor. Mm-hmm. So Shimano have a new e-bike motor out because the old one has been around for maybe 3 years now, four years now.
It's been around a while.
Yeah, and it was starting to, I think it's fair to say it wasn't as powerful as the new rivals from the likes of Bosch and Brose on the specialized bikes. Mm-hmm. So Shimano have sought to address that, is that right?
Yeah, they have addressed it in terms of they've increased the power. So it's been boosted to 85 newton meters of torque, apparently, which is still actually a little bit below what Brose and Bosch are offering on their latest motors. I've very briefly ridden the EP8, and it is I will do a full review for Bike Radar because it's interesting. But anyway, it is a little bit more powerful than the previous one in terms of its torque. Probably the most noticeable thing is that it's actually a hell of a lot quieter than the last one, because the last one had that real like whiny like noise.
Yeah, and to be fair, most motors do.
Yeah.
But I've recently been riding a little bit on the new Bosch motor.
Oh, yeah.
And I think it is a bit noisier than the Shimano. Mm-hmm. I've not ridden the Shimano EP8 yet, but I've ridden with someone who had one. Mm-hmm. If that makes sense. And I thought the Bosch was a bit noisier.
Yeah.
But, it's not like a V8. It's still more of a little whine.
Yeah. But yeah. it definitely is quieter. The other thing that there's sort of, you know, there are other claims, a 36% decrease in pedaling drag, which is going to be noticeable when you're riding the bike, either above the cutout limit, you know, above 25 kph in the UK, or when your battery dies, as they do sometimes. And also a slightly narrower Q factor, so 177 mil instead of whatever it was before.
Yeah, so that's like pretty normal for a mountain bike.
Yeah.
Your feet aren't any wider apart than they are on a normal bike.
Yeah. So they're saying it's a whole new motor, so you've got things like magnesium castings, which help bring down the weight. The only thing apparently that remains are they've got a new clutch mechanism to sort of help with that drag thing. And also help the weight. It's a smaller body size, I think. It's a 10-15% drop in volume. And the only thing that remains, apparently, is that crank spindle. Everything else is new. Although, obviously, okay. I've sort of kind of pointed out if they've got a narrower Q factor, then the spindle itself has to be narrower too, which it is, but it's basically the same spindle. Okay. Everything else is new, as is the battery, which is now... just let me scroll through Bike Radar. Instead of 500, it is what, 612, I think. So you've got
watt
a bit
hours.
More. Yeah, 612 watt hours. So yeah, there we go. So other little updates very quickly. There's a new sort of clicker controller for your handlebar, just to make it a bit more ergonomic. And cranks now gone down to 160 mil, I think. And obviously the big thing, which obviously Bros have done for a long time, Bosch has been doing for a little bit of time, and now Shimano, is that you can attach your eTube mobile phone app to the motor so that you can adjust the power settings and how much each of them give, and like the sort of veracity of the sort of additional power, you know, when you start pedaling, how kicky it is, how it tails off. So that's a big step for Shimano because they didn't used to do that.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, that's something that Bros do. At least they have some of those features. I'm not sure if they have exactly the same ones. Mm. But yeah, you can use an app to tailor the amount of assistance you get in each of the modes.
Yeah, which is super handy for sort of making the most out of the way you want to ride it. Interestingly, well, not interestingly, because who really cares? When we got the bike and motor before its launch, obviously we could play around with the motor, go for rides. It's got two preset profiles for the motor and the power delivery. You can then add a third custom one yourself. But the app wasn't available pre-release, so I've not actually played with it yet. But I will do going forwards. So, yeah, new EPA.
So did it feel much different when you rode it? Was it a noticeable difference?
I think there's a noticeable in that the torque is improved. It's fairly subtle, but it is kind of there. The noise was the most noticeable thing. And, you know, okay, it's only noise, but it does have, like, that psychological impact, yeah. I think, when you're riding it. The thing which actually we did find was that despite the top end of it having more torque, actually getting it to deliver its top amount of power and torque was really difficult. You can see the little bar on the display, it sort of shows you how much power it's giving at a time, and for some reason really struggled to get it to give it absolute full chatter even in its boost mode. That's possibly something that can be played with in the app. I don't know. There is a thing where the tailing off of power delivery when you get towards the limit has been refined to make it a smoother transition into unassisted riding. And I don't know whether that's impacting on making it quite difficult to get the full amount of power. But in like boost mode, when I'm going up something steep and, you know, putting a lot of effort in, I want the motor to be giving all it's got. So I'm not saying it can't do that. I'm just saying at the moment, need a bit more time on it to try and work out how to get the best out of it in terms of that. But yeah, certainly, you know, moving forward, I think it's a good thing from Shimano. The bigger battery is good. The smaller packaging is good. The quieter noise is good. So yeah, look out on site though in the coming months, and we'll do a full sort of review of the new EPA. And the big shout out to Merida, who supplied their 2021 E160 enduro bike with the new motor in advance of its launch with the new motor. So yeah, big shout out to Merida. Kind of cool little bike.
Right. Yeah, I think we'll both be riding that motor a little bit over the next couple of months. So
you're doing e-bike tests at the moment, aren't you, for MBUK?
Yeah, so hopefully I'll have some of the Bosch ones and some of the Shimano ones, so we'll be able to do a little bit of a comparison there.
Wicked, wicked, yeah. Look out on site. Also on site then is, you've got a Privateer 161 long-term bike, but am I right in thinking there is a new child bike version of the Privateer? Is it 141, is that right?
Yeah, so the 161 is a 161 millimeter travel enduro bike. It's a pretty big bike, obviously. It's designed for basically enduro racing or bike park riding. It's it's a lot of bike. And some people, obviously, that's not what they want. So Privateer have come up with the 141. My review of that bike is on site now. So
of the 161, your long-term
of the 161, yeah. So I've been riding that for 4 months now. So it's my long-term review. So have a look at that if you are interested. But the 141 obviously is designed for kind of trail riding, but kind of trail / enduro riding. It's still a pretty aggressive bike, I'd say. It's a 141 mil rear travel. It's got a 64.5 degree head angle, so it's like getting on for half a degree steeper than the 161. It's still got a pretty long wheelbase, but it's got a slightly slacker seat angle. Interestingly, so the 161 has an 80 degree effective seat angle, which is the steepest I've seen. Certainly, I've not seen steeper.
Yeah, I can't think of anything steep. The Raw Madonna was like, that was mad, 78, 79-ish.
It was the steepest one when it came out, but I think it's not the steepest anymore. It's like 79 or something. Paul Machine, Geometron, they're like 78, 79, something like that. So anyway, it's very steep, which is, I think that's brilliant for steep climbing. You don't have to hunch yourself forward. You just sit on the comfortable part of the saddle in a comfortable position, even when you're winching up like a really steep incline. So the 141, they've relaxed that to 78, saying, you know, it's more, they've struck a compromise that is more suited to flatter trails and more sort of traverses. I think you can traverse quite all right on the 161, but obviously it's not the ideal position for riding on flat terrain. So they've compromised a little bit there, but it's still very steep. It's sort of designed to be a kind of UK trail bike, so still very aggressive for a trail bike. We don't know exactly how much it weighs, but it's probably not going to be very light. Still pretty slack, so it's kind of fitting that niche for people who don't want a full-on long travel enduro bike.
Wicked.
And the 161 I think pedals very well, but you know, if you're kind of pumping through the terrain, more kind of mellower tracks, then you definitely don't need all that travel. So that's who it's designed for.
Okay, speaking of steep seat angles, I just have been riding new Marin Elroy. Which is their latest hardtail. And it's actually really cool. It's the geometry is pretty much as radical as I've seen a hardtail geometry, pretty much. It's steel 140mm fork at the front. It's named after a burrito restaurant in California, which, you know,
brilliant.
Why the hell not? I think even on the back of the seat tube is the longitude and latitude whatever that's called, of the restaurant, of Elroy's Burrito Restaurant. So yeah, it's pretty cool. So you sort of mentioned there that the 161's got an 80-degree seat angle. So this is a hardtail with a 78-degree seat angle.
Oh, wow.
So obviously, full suspension bikes, when they sag, that effectively slackens the seat angle, which is why, generally speaking, you'll get a slightly steeper seat angle on a full sus. On a hardtail, when the fork compresses through your weight, actually things steepen. So sagged, it'll be a touch steeper than 78. It comes with a 63-degree head angle, which is, that's basically a downhill bike head angle. And then the regular...
But on a hardtail, of course, when you're sat into the travel, it gets steeper.
Steepens a bit, yeah.
Whereas when you're sat into the travel on a full suspension bike, it will stay roughly the same. So it kind of makes sense to have a hardtail that's slacker than a full suspension bike, even though usually we see the opposite.
Yeah. So they've gone fully down the, super sort of fairly radiometry. The regular that I've been riding at 6 foot has a 480 reach. And then they do a grande. I'm assuming that if you go to Elroy's Burrito Restaurant, you can get a regular or a grande. I guess that's where they got the naming from. That gets a 510mm reach. What I quite like about the sizing on that, though, is that the seat tubes are ridiculously short. So your seat tube on the regular is 420mm, and it's only 430mm on the grande. So a 430mm reach with a seat tube with a 510mm reach basically means you could probably run like a 300mm dropper if you were so inclined. you couldn't because they don't exist. But you know what I mean? You can run like a super long dropper on those bikes.
That makes a lot of sense because, of course, hardtails, you kind of need to use your legs as the suspension a bit more. So having a long travel dropper first makes a lot of sense there.
Yeah. And it's absolutely wicked, that bike. I've ridden it quite a bit. It feels, you were sort of saying about the steep seat angle working quite well for you. Like I found that on like flat, if I'm doing like a road transfer somewhere or just riding along like a flat bit of fire road, that steep seat angle does feel a bit weird. So your hips are so far over the cranks, but as soon as any sort of climb, again, it just feels brilliant. And that bike itself is, I've got an inkling that Marin wants it back. I haven't had official word yet, though, so it's not going back yet. And I really, really enjoyed riding it. Even on days when you're riding with people on, enduro bikes or, big full sus bikes, I've been out riding them out, the Elroy, and just having an absolute whale of a time. It's been brilliant. So there is a review on Bike Radar of that at the moment. There's also a video on our YouTube channel. So if you listen to the pod but you haven't seen our YouTube channel, get onto YouTube, search for Bike Radar, you'll find it in there.
That bike does have the slowest tires in the world.
Oh my days, it does, doesn't it?
It's got the double down Maxxis Assegais in the super soft compound. So
Max grip.
Very sticky. But we were just rolling down the road once, and every time, I've got Schwalbe Eddy Current e-bike tires on my bike. They're very aggressive tires. And then every time we're rolling down the road, I was just leaving you behind. And where's Tom gone? So we stopped at the start of this hill and just let off our brakes at the same time, the same place. And honestly, it was like 2-3 minutes down the road, and I was waiting for like 30 seconds at the moment.
Yeah, night and day.
And I was not on cross-country tyres by any stretch of the imagination.
I was in full-on tuck, hands by the stem, knees touching the top tube, head, chin bouncing off the top of the stem, and absolutely could not keep up with anyone down there. It was a bit mad.
Those tyres are so slow. It really goes to show you how much difference the compound makes.
Mm.
It's a huge difference, isn't it?
Sticky, very sticky, but very grippy. So swings and roundabouts, not good for going up a hill.
I mean, it's not a cross-country hardtail, is it?
It's really,
I think
really not.
We can agree on that without giving too much of the review away.
Spoiler alert.
Hashtag spoilers.
You're not going to get a KOM or a QOM going up a hill on the Elroy. Speaking of going up hills very fast, we'll do our last little thing. You have got quite possibly the most bonkers bottle of chain lube I've ever heard of in your possession at the moment, Seb. What is it?
So this is the Absolute Black Graphene Lube. It costs £115 for a bottle.
115?
Yeah, so you get 140ml for £115. So it's almost a pound a mil.
You could buy a pair of tyres for that.
Yeah, just about, yeah.
Just about. That's mad.
Yes, it is a lot of money. However, so they're making some pretty bold claims about it. So one of the tests that they did in-house, and you've got to always take these claims with a massive pinch of salt, because, I mean, you know, they're conducting their own test. But the test was they had the Muckoff hydrodynamic lube.
Which itself has got some pretty bold claims made about it.
Yeah, I guess so, yeah.
Maybe I'm slurring. Because they Muckoff do the ceramic-y one for the Pro Tour, don't they?
Yeah, they do the Muckoff Nano.
That's it, sorry.
Something or other.
That's the one with the big claims.
Yes. Anyway, it's not like a budget chain lube. And they reckon it was saving something like 2.3 watts at 250 watts.
Okay.
Like 7.3 watts.
Oh, right, okay.
At 250 watts, which is about
2.3%
or something. That may not sound a huge amount, but that's, you know, that's 2.3% more power going to your rear wheel all the time. So if you think about that in terms of power to weight ratio, like we were saying earlier, to get the same improvement to your power to weight ratio, sorry, it was 2.9%, 7.3 watts at 250 watts. That's 2.9%. So if a bike and rider weighs getting on for 100 kilos, you'd have to save 2.9 kilos to get the same benefit to your power to weight ratio. So if you put it like that, you know, it sounds like a big deal. But of course, once again, that's their own test. And, you know, there are so many variables in this, you know, gear choice and, you know, how many kilometers you've done on the drivetrain before you do the test, and which chain lubes you compare it to, and contamination and all sorts. I have been doing some testing with it. So I've got some Muckoff C3 wet lube, which is just the lube that I tend to use. So I treated one chain with that and then one chain with the graphene lube. Absolutely following the instructions, but doing the same procedure for both lubes. Swapping the chains over and doing the same climb with some power pedals and kind of doing the same average power. And the results from that were pretty inconclusive. I think the problem was that the power pedals were brand new, and I wonder if they were like bedding in or something. Because every run I was getting slightly faster, and I'm not really sure why. Maybe the conditions were changing. I picked a day with no wind, but maybe temperature was changing or something. But for whatever reason, I couldn't tell. But I will go back and have another go. I've got a Shimano drivetrain with two Shimano chains, so I might try it with a different brand of drivetrain and go back with the power pedals after they've got a bit more time on them.
See how it goes.
See how it goes. But it's a really tricky, complicated thing to try and test this in the real world. But I'll have another go. See how we get on.
Wicked. Well, 115 quid for a bottle of lube, in my eyes, is not sure it's ever going to be worth the money. But maybe if you're a pro, if you want to go 2.3% faster.
I think if their claims can be taken seriously, then it's totally worth it. Because, like,
not for the average person.
Well, not if you're cycling to the shops, but if you're concerned about performance, then, like, I can't see any other way of getting 2.9% more power for 115 quid.
No.
Like, you're not going to save 2.9 kilos or 2.9% of your weight for 115 quid, or you're not going to make that kind of saving on the aerodynamics for 115 quid either. Like, you know, these are... If you can take those claims seriously, which is a huge caveat, then yeah, it could be quite a big performance gain for if that's what you're interested in.
Sure. Okay.
So that's why I'm testing it and taking it seriously, because, you know, if their claims are valid, then
you know, it's a relatively big performance gain, actually.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, fair enough. Happy days. All right, well, I'm sure you'll put your findings on radar at some point down the line when full and proper testing has been completed.
Yeah, definitely needs more data.
Love a bit of data, Seb.
Yeah.
Wicked.
Get those p-values down.
That's it. Well, I think we'll wrap up this little news review. Everything we've talked about is on site. The lube was in First Look Friday, which went out on the Friday the 11th of September. So you can catch it there. That was a week ago. Don't forget, obviously, the rest of the Tour de France podcasts that have been going out over the past few weeks. They've been, genuinely really, really interesting. And the rest of the news is on site now. So, yeah, thanks for subscribing. If you haven't subscribed, do subscribe. If you haven't shared it with your mates, do share it with your mates. And we'll be back on Monday, I think, is our next one. So, yeah, we'll catch you then. Thank you very much, Seb.
Thanks, Tom.
And catch you soon.
See ya. Thank you for listening to the Bike Radar podcast. If you want any more information on what we've been talking about or more news and views on cycling, check out bikeradar.com.